afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay. Craig, is that clicker over there? We just observed and celebrated a national holiday known as Thanksgiving. A day sometimes when we'll travel near and far, or our family and friends will, in order to be with us, to celebrate this day, to fellowship, to have food and family, and not only that, even football has become a part of that tradition. If you don't even like football, you might find yourself watching it on Thanksgiving. It's really a time for fellowship, a time for us to enjoy company and share that meal together in Thanksgiving and appreciation for what we have. And you know, you think about this national day of celebration of Thanksgiving, and I listen to sometimes those football commentators and the media, and you hear them oftentimes talk about the things for which they are thankful. They'll say that on the air. And then I went to YouTube, not to YouTube, but went to the computer, and I pulled up A-listers, actors and musicians, and I was putting in the search engine, what are they thankful on Thanksgiving? So I pulled that up and I was listening, and all these folks were talking about what they were thankful for. And you know, some of them that was in bands and groups, and they say, well, I'm thankful for these guys. And some of them say, I'm thankful to the VMAs for allowing us to be a part of it this year. And they was thankful, and a lot of folks are thankful, family and friends, and on and on. People were thankful for it. But you notice, if you ever listen to those, the things that you will probably notice is that you really never hear God's name in a lot of these celebratory moments where folks are giving thanks. They say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, but they never thank the one who's responsible. And they're often thankful for a lot of their physical things, you know, their friends or their food and their family, their things that they own and all those kind of things. And you never really hear Jesus' name. The name of God and stuff on the media, you know, I'm not saying they never do it, but you rarely hear the name of God and Jesus being evoked in these thanksgivings. And even though I believe people are thankful for many things, you notice that most of the time those things are physical, but they fail to thank the one who is the source of those physical blessings. It just appears that in these moments, God really doesn't get his due. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 21, and this is what he said. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so as I thought about that, I thought, why don't we give God his due, and let's just talk about some things. You're not going to hear this on the media. I'm not upset with the folks. They're saying they're thankful, and maybe in their own way they are thankful to God for it. They just don't say it. So we're not saying that they don't intend to say that God is responsible or those kind of things, and maybe it's just not a good thing to say in the media. You know, you can get in a lot of trouble if you start talking too much about God, so you don't expect to hear his name too often. I mean, the president talked about him when them boys ran them planes into them buildings. We heard God's name a lot, but we're back to not hearing it much anymore. But when we're talking about Thanksgiving, thank God for Thanksgiving, because God ought to be thanked that we have an opportunity to be thankful. Now, we're thankful all the time, and certainly when we come to this national holiday of Thanksgiving, it's not the first time that we're saying thanks and how much we appreciate and all those kind of things, but we're saying it right now with the fruit of our lips as we come and we enjoy this fellowship and we sing praises to God. We're saying thank you, and as we observe the Lord's Supper, we're saying thank you. And as we live the lives that are conducive for Christianity in front of the world and let our light so shine, we're saying thankful, thank you. And so we constantly say thank you to God in our lives. And sometimes we take moments to say thank you, even verbally, as we enter into prayer and all those kind of things. So we are thankful people who are always saying thanks to God for everything we get. And so we appreciate that so much. So let me just remind you of a few things for which we could be thankful, and we could say these things that you're not going to hear in the media. First of all, thank God for our lives. Thank God for life in and of itself. And thank God for physical life. And because life came from God. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible said, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man got his living powers. Man became a living soul. God put something in man to animate that flesh. Man became a living soul. And then you thank God for your physical life, because God not only gave us life, but he thought enough of us to give us a life that comes from him. He made us in his likeness, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. So let us make man in our likeness, in our own image. And so we thank God for that. But we also thank God for the physical life, because it actually shows just how important we truly are. You heard the saying, I saved the best for last. Well, truly, when it comes to this could not be truer than when it's applied to man in creation. Because truly, when God was creating everything, that first 6 days and the first 5 days, he created everything. And on the sixth day, the last day before he rested, the last day of creation, he created man. And the reason is because he saved the best for last. The fact that God made man on the sixth day of creation means that everything that was made before man was made with man in mind. And what that tells you is just how vitally important man truly was. God had to get everything ready, everything prepared, everything perfect, everything just right. I mean, you think about it, when you trying to have some guests to come over, and it's some guests that you would really want to honor, and the things that you go through in order to get your house ready, to prepare for them to come, to make sure they are going to be comfortable and lodged, and you want to make sure they're ready, they have everything they need, and all the stuff that you go through. Well, think about God as he's making man. And there's not one thing that was made in the creation was not made with man in mind. Even though man is made on the sixth day, everything God did prior to that was with man in mind, which gives you an indication of just how important man was. So truly, he saved the best for last. We can thank God for our physical lives and how important we truly are to him. But not only that, we thank God for our spiritual lives, because God made us new. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So the same creative powers that he brought the world into existence with is the same creative powers by which he forms us new to make us a new creation. When he took away the old man, Colossians chapter 2, 11 and 12 says that he's operating on us when we go down into the waters of baptism, cutting away the old man and forming us new. My friends, that's the same creative powers to make us new creatures in Christ. And we ought to thank him for our spiritual life, because in our spiritual lives, we are purified. And that's exactly what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 and 23. He's saying, seeing ye have been purified, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Because he made us new, because we have purified our souls in obeying the truth by the Spirit, we can love one another purely, but also we can worship God spiritually. You see, it takes us to become spiritual beings in order to worship a spiritual God. And so Jesus said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, literally in a spiritual manner. Well, we had to purify our souls and be made new in order to worship him in a spiritual manner, according to that right attitude, that proper spirit, and according to the truth. We can thank God for our spiritual lives. But not only that, we thank God for the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Because God has given us everything we need to succeed. He has given us everything we need to succeed. Notice what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and notice verse number 3.
Given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
You know what God did? God removed us from the rat race of undiscovered knowledge. That's what he did. He removed us from that. You see, there is a rat race out there that's taking place for undiscovered knowledge. And what God did with those of us who trust him, those of us who live according to him, we can thank God for the Bible because he took us out of that race. You see, man keeps looking. He keeps looking into the earth. He keeps sending things into space. He keeps on probing the ocean because he's trying to find something that he does not know. He thinks there's something out there that he needs. He thinks there's some undiscovered knowledge that when he finds it, he's going to be like, man, this is what we've been looking for. This is going to revolutionize this, that, and the other. And so he's constantly digging into the ground. He's scratching old relics. He's doing everything he can to find something that he does not know. And when he discovers anything, he'll then put it in a book, and then he'll rewrite his books that he wrote formerly because he'll say, well, now we know that that wasn't good. So the things that was on yesterday, you can't trust for tomorrow. Because now he's found some new knowledge. But you know what God tells us? God tells us that everything you need and everything you ever going to need is right here in this Bible. All the knowledge and wisdom you could ever want is right here in this Bible. Man keeps on digging in the ground. He's doing excavation sites. He's digging in the ground. And he keeps on probing down into the ocean. He keeps on sending stuff into outer space. He's looking for something. And everything he could ever need is right here. You want to ask, how did we get here? Genesis 1:1. He already told me, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we already know that he made man on the sixth day. I don't have to go out into space. I don't have to probe the ocean. I don't have to dig holes in the ground to find out how we got here. The Bible already told me everything we need pertaining to life and godliness is right here in this book. Question is, do you believe it? It's true whether you do or not. But you ought to just go on and believe it because it's just right. He took us out the rat race of undiscovered knowledge. Not only that, what is your purpose for being here? He already told me. But do you not know there are folks who are looking for a purpose? You see, if they go into outer space enough, they might find their purpose for being here. If they go into the ocean enough, they might find some knowledge that tells them why they're here and give them a real purpose. If they dig in a hole enough, they may come up with something. But I tell you what, you don't have to do all that to find out what is your purpose. You don't have to keep searching. The Bible had already told us what our purpose is. Let me help you. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 17. What is our purpose for being here? We were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of our Creator. Now, for what purpose? For his pleasure. Revelation chapter 4. And verse number 11. And because he created us in his image, then we can reciprocate to him the things that he desires. In other words, my friends, we can have fellowship with him. We can then, my friends, enjoy that fellowship. In Acts chapter 17, and notice verse number 27, what does the Bible say?
That they should seek the Lord.
That they should seek the Lord. Now, if you find yourself in this life and you don't know him, you should employ everything that God has given you to find him. What is your purpose here in this life? To find him. That's your purpose. To find him, not find yourself. Find him. Find your Creator. That's what you should be doing. Find him for what purpose? So that you can be reconnected to him, so that you can have fellowship with him, so that you can understand who he is, so you can learn of him, so that you can do his bidding, you can do his will, so that he can love you and you can reciprocate the love to him. That's your purpose. And if you don't know him, then get on your quest to find him. But you know what? You don't have to go very far. He's not very far from neither one of us. It's right here. It's right here. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what people who are doing. What people who are doing trying to find themselves are trying to figure out what their purpose is. They are wasting time. Amen. Now, if you were to tell me I'm trying to find my purpose, well, by the time you're trying to find that purpose, you've pretty much wasted half your life. Amen. Because you're not trying to find your purpose at six. You're going to have to get of some age to even understand what you're looking for. trying to find. So some time is going to elapse before you get to the point where you can understand how to look for whatever this great purpose is for your life. Well, let me tell you something. God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1, remember now the Creator in the what? In the days of thy youth. My friends, we are trying to find our purpose when you're wasting time to get to the point where you can even look for your purpose. And he told you to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. If you don't know him, you need to employ all that he has provided for you to find him. So my purpose is to know him, to find him, to perform his will, to actually be judged by him. Acts 17, drop down to verse number 30 and 31.
And the time for this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent.
Greg, what were they doing when he told them, if haply you should feel after him, they should be trying to find the Creator. But what were they doing? They were finding every, they didn't know him, so they was trying to find him.
Yeah.
And what were they doing? They was worshiping every god they could think of, polytheism, because they was trying to find him. And ultimately, because of God's mercy, God sent one in there with the right information. You should be looking for him. That's what they were doing. And then Paul said he found him. And then Paul says the times of this ignorance, of you not knowing God, living in polytheism, giving over to superstitions and all of these false deities and all this kind of stuff, the time of this ignorance is no more. The gospel is coming out. The sunlight age is here. The gospel is complete, it's finished, it's here. And Paul's saying, you can know him. He is the one I need to get to you so that you can understand who he is, so that you can know him, so that you can obey him, so that you can have fellowship with him, because he's going to judge you. And my friends, if you haven't fulfilled your purpose by the time he judges you, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. Because Paul said he gonna judge you. Time this ignorance God winked up and not commanding all men everywhere to repent. For what, Craig?
Because he had appointed a day.
He had appointed a day.
In the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised them from the dead.
So if I find him, and I come to know him, and I perform his will, and I come to be judged by him, he will then allow me to enter into heaven to live with him eternally. Now, I don't need to probe the ocean. I don't need to send stuff out of space. I don't need to dig holes in the ground. I don't need to scratch old relics to know my purpose. Everything we need is right here. Well, wait a minute, Brother Disney. So what about a godly life? He given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Mm-hmm. How to live a godly life is right here. Titus chapter 2, 11, 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Wow. The grace of God teaches us that. And the grace of God will help us through it, will help us to perform it, how to live that godly life. It's right here. He's given us all things pertaining to life and to godliness. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute, Brother Dismute. You say everything I need is right in here. Well, because the thing that troubles us the most is how to be successful with other people. Mm-hmm. How do I become successful? How can I be successful in life when dealing with other people? Well, I don't have to go in outer space. I don't have to scratch old relics. I don't have to dig holes in the ground. I don't have to probe the ocean to find the answer. The answer is right here. You want to be successful with dealing with other people? Apply Matthew 7:12. Do you know what that say? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. You want to know how to treat other people, how to deal with them? Then make the most of your opportunities to do them good. When you have an opportunity to do good to people, do good. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are of the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse number 10. But not only that, here's one that we need to really apply. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. It's right here in the book. Philippians 2, and look at verse number 3. Here's one that'll help every time. You want to know how to treat other people? Just do this. Come on, read. Nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You got to get rid of the pride and all that kind of stuff. Got to have a low estimation of self. Come on.
But in lowliness of mind.
In lowliness of mind.
Each esteem other better than himself.
Think highly of others while thinking lowly of yourself. Maybe that's why folk don't want to do it. Maybe that's why. Think highly of others while thinking lowly of yourself. Don't go around thinking you better than others. Go around thinking others are better than you. Doesn't that go against our carnal wisdom? Yeah. Why is that the case? Because you know something. And I know you know something. And I'm going to tell you what you know. Here's what you know. Now be honest and listen carefully. Here's what you know. You know the secrets of your own heart. Don't you? Go like this. You know wherein you struggle. Don't you? You know your own attitude. And let me tell you something else you know. You know the wickedness of your own heart.
Amen.
Yeah. You know what you allow and you know what you don't allow. You know mistakes that you have made. You know the way you think about certain things that's not always good. You know the way you think about other people that's not always good. You know. You know all the secrets of your heart. But what you don't know is the secrets of your brothers. I know wherein I struggle, but I don't know wherein Craig struggles. I know where I fail, but I don't know where he fails. I know when I'm alone and the things that's coming to my mind and how I struggle with certain things, but I don't know what's coming to his mind in his quiet time and the things in which he struggles. So what I do is I anticipate that Craig is not having the same issues I'm having, and therefore I can esteem him to be better than myself. And I might look to Craig because I esteem him to be better than me and say, brother, pray for me.
Yes, sir.
Pray for me. Need you to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a gulf between spirits, we can't know someone else's, but you do know yours. And instead of assuming that someone is worse than you, you ought to assume that they're better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what he says. Don't go around looking at others as if you're better than them. Go around looking at others as if they're better than you. Now, you didn't have to send anything in space to get that, did you?
Amen.
Nobody dug anything in a hole in the earth. We didn't have to probe the ocean to find that out. All we have to do is put that in practice. If I treat you the way I want to be treated, if I take every opportunity that's given to me to do you good, if I esteem you to be better than myself, realizing that I know all my weaknesses, my frailties, and my mistakes, and the wickedness of my own heart, but I don't know yours, so I just assume you're not dealing with that kind of stuff. I just assume you're not worse than me. I just assume you're better than me. There's a whole lot of folk got a whole lot going on, but we can't assume that everybody else is doing the same thing because I'm doing it.
Amen.
Thank God for the Bible. Because when you get this word of God, man, he took us out the rat race of undiscovered knowledge. They searching, they probing. They keep throwing stuff in the air. They keep digging holes. They searching frantically trying to find something they don't know. And God says, I've given you everything you need. And it's right here in the Word of God. And every time man finds something that he can say is true, it comes right back to this. Doesn't matter what it is, all truth comes right back to God. And be thankful for your trials, because your trials will teach you patience. That's what James says. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. If you stay under and just let it work, when you come out on the other side, you're going to be better than when you went in. All you have to do is just see it through with the right attitude. That's why we can thank God even for our trials, because it's just going to teach us patience. And we talked about that a little bit this morning. Because God will give you wisdom concerning them. He will give you whatever you ask. Lord, give me wisdom. And the Lord will certainly provide you everything that you need. Because God will see you through. Nothing is coming upon you that man has not withstood, that man can't handle. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. He don't put it on you, my friends, but he certainly can get it off you, or he certainly can get you through it. God is faithful. Trust him, and it'll be all right. You're never going to hear these kind of things spoken through the media. So God is never really going to get his due when we're listening to TV and we're listening to the commentators, or whether they're sports or media commentators, and they're talking about for what the things for which they are thankful. They're just going to say they're thankful for this, they're thankful for that, and they're thankful for that. But they're never going to really give due to the one to whom they should be thankful. They're never really going to evoke the name of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear a lot of that, that's for sure. But we certainly can be thankful for all that God is to us, and all that God means to us, all that God has done for us, and all that God will yet do for us. God may not get his due in the media. He may not get his due even on a national day of Thanksgiving. But God be thanked, my friends, that these and many other things God has given to us, so that you and I can be thankful for everything that he's given and everything he will yet give. Thank God for Thanksgiving. If you're here this afternoon, you can thank God for the salvation that he's offered through his son. And if you need that salvation, if you're not saved, you can come to Jesus Christ by believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing him with your mouth unto salvation, and being immersed in him with through water and great baptism. Come out of that water and be a wonderful Christian. Live for him. He's died for you. And one day live with him throughout all eternity. And if you need to respond to the invitation and some kind of prayer that we can offer on your behalf, we invite you to come as well. If you need to come, please, as we stand and as we sing. Yeah.